This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
As you know, throughout this year, through 2020, we've been on a journey to grow in our faith through spiritual formation using spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are the tools that God has provided in His Word to help us to grow as a response to the love that He's given to us. Some of the tools that we've begun to use are meditation. We've learned more about what it means to meditate on God's Word, work, and way. We've talked about prayer and how we're having a conversation with God, both to gain intimacy with Him and also to intercede so that He would intercede on our behalf. And we're doing this renovation in our hearts because we recognize that there are old ways of thinking, there are old ways of feeling that need to be rooted out and to be transformed so that we can become more like Christ. The goal of spiritual disciplines is not the discipline itself. They're merely a vehicle that God has given to us to be able to grow closer to Him, to respond to the grace that He's been given. This morning, I was scheduled to preach a sermon on fasting because that's the next chapter in the book, Celebration of Discipline. It's a practice that is largely forgotten in our time, and it's something that I was going to preach on, but I did something last night that I probably have never done before, was I thought, you know, this may be a different moment in our life together to talk about something different. So I have a sermon ready and written on fasting that I'm not going to be preaching this morning. And hopefully we'll be able to share that with you another time. But in light of all that's going on in our world, in our culture, I wanted to encourage you with the word that God gave me, which is the word of hope. What does it mean for us to live with hope in this time of difficulty and challenge? And so I want us to think about that this morning, because hope is something that's really important for us as a people. And I just want to be responsive to what God, I think, is telling me to talk about this morning. So I hope you'll bear with me. And what choice do you really have? You're watching this from home. You can't even say anything if you were here, right? So let's take a moment and look at the passage that we're going to be reflecting on this morning. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. It's the third and fourth verse. And listen to the word of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your grace, that indeed You're a good Father and that You care for us and love us. We pray that You would help us to trust You, to know Your word, and to practice Your word, to be Your hands and feet in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a man named Alexander Pope, and he lived at a difficult time of transition in Britain. His homeland was changing all around him. There were advancements in technology, which led to commerce and trade, the beginnings of what would become a global economy even before the Industrial Revolution. He lived in a time of great religious conflict between Protestants and Catholics, and there was also tension between his country and the surrounding nations. He also lived with significant physical limitations. Due to having a tuberculosis as a child, the disease deformed his body and stunted his growth, leaving him with a severe and unsightly hunchback. He had respiratory difficulties, high fevers, inflamed eyes, and abdominal pain. And he only grew to a height of 4 feet, 6 inches. It's less than 2 meters. He also, strangely, had been trampled by a cow as a child. And yet, in these uncertain times, with those great disadvantages, he wrote these words: "Hope humbly then, with trembling pinions or wings, soar. Wait the great teacher death and God adore. What future bliss he gives not thee to know, but gives that hope to be thy blessing now. Hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed. The soul uneasy and confined from home rests and expatiates or expands in a life to come. The very common phrase that we've heard so many times before, hope springs eternal, was written by Alexander Pope called An Essay on Man. Where do you find hope? In a world that's constantly changing, where do you find stability? What can you hold on to? Some of the things that we've had such confidence in have been severely shaken in these last weeks. Our economy that seemed destined to climb has now faltered badly. Our healthcare system, even with its faults, has served us well. It may falter also under the weight of this infection. Our leaders have acted indecisively in a time of confusion. And as we anticipate the difficulty of the days ahead, the days in quarantine, days with higher rates of infection, days of uncertainty, anxiety, fear, even the potential and possibility for death, where is our hope? At the very beginning of this letter to the church, Peter reminds them that their hope is in Christ. He writes this letter to the people that he calls elect exiles, those people who are God's chosen, who have been scattered all throughout the world. They've been cast out from their homeland. They likely have lost everything. And yet they're the ones that have been called by God to live with hope, to live with the promise of God in mind. He reminds them, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope." Born again into a living hope. I love it when words are put together like this, using a participle. If you read it at first, you say the word living is an adjective, that living is describing the kind of hope that we have. It's a living hope. That is, it's a hope that it's alive, it's growing, it's changing, it's getting stronger. Our hope isn't static, but it's dynamic. And even as we face greater challenges, our hope is something that we actually live out. It's a living hope. We are living our hope. It makes a difference. But now it's also an adverb. We are living our hope out. We have a hope, and that means it changes the way we live in uncertain times. It's not something that stays the same. You see, we don't live in fear. We live out our hope. So I want to talk about this hope that we have, to remind you, to encourage you, and to challenge you from God's word, from past, present, and future. From where, first of all, does our hope come? What about the past? Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Through God's great mercy, the mercy of this good, good Father, we have been born again into a living hope. Our living hope originates in the heart of the Father who made us alive in Christ. The Bible calls our Father the everlasting Father, our heavenly Father, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Father of glory, the Father of lights, the Father of mercy, the Father to the fatherless, the God of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, merciful, faithful, compassionate, slow to anger. I am that I am, Yahweh, our Redeemer, and the rock of our salvation, our Abba, our Daddy, our good, good Father. This Heavenly Father has caused us to be born again into a living hope. This action was to secure in the mind and has been secure in the mind of God since all of eternity. It's always been this way for God. The reason we have living hope is because God has accomplished our salvation in the past through Christ's work on the cross, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it says. Paul writes, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Before the creation of the world. This means that God was making arrangements for us to be a part of his family before we were even born. It's not a surprise to him. In fact, nothing is a surprise to God. I interviewed a friend of mine for my podcast who adopted a baby boy from China. And hers was a powerful story, one that we called Rescued. It was about how God had changed her life by bringing this little boy into her family. And the story, she talked about the process that she and her family and she and her husband went through to come to the place where they were in agreement on whether or not to adopt a child. It was a significant decision for them, as it would be for anyone. And so they were thinking through, what are the implications? How do we discern this together? And it was amazing how God brought them together to be of one mind. And then they went through the process of thinking through, how do we make this happen? What are the steps that we need to take? And then eventually they met their son. But what's fascinating to me to think about is that while they were making these preparations, while God was working on their heart to prepare them to adopt this little boy, he wasn't even born yet. Before this child was born, his adoptive mother and father, who are now his mother and father, were thinking about how they would be bringing him into their family and taking him as their own, learning from him, growing with him. It's an amazing thing to think about. And when you think about the truth that God is doing these things, he's not discerning whether or not he'll bring us into his family, but he's making preparations for us to be connected to him, to be part of his family. That God, since eternity past, has been ordaining that those who would come to him would be his. That you, who trust in Jesus Christ, whose hope is put in Jesus Christ, would be his. Our living hope is anchored in the past. Our living hope is also a promise for the future. Notice that I skipped over the present moment for just this very moment. We'll be looking at, what does it mean that our living hope is a promise for the future? I'll come back to the present in just a second. Rereading, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our living hope has promise for the future because it reveals this new birth and the implications of that new birth. Peter says it's caused us to be born again. This isn't just about being saved, even though it includes that. It's not just about getting a ticket to heaven, even though it includes that. Being born again here means being born of the Father into the new life that Jesus gives. That means that the old has gone and the new has come. We were once dead in sin. But because of our election by the Father, we have now come into this new life that will last for eternity, no matter what happens in this life. It's a promise that the future, that your future, if you trust in Christ, is secure with God. You see, God didn't just come to make bad people better. He came to make dead people live. And when you trust in Jesus, you can have an eternal life. You now have eyes to see what you could not see before. When you were in darkness, Paul writes also, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the dominion of the Son he loves. Those who've been born again have come out of darkness and into the light. Our eternal destiny is secured. Our place in heaven is settled. Our eternal communion with the Father has been obtained. It's never been about anything that you've done, so it can never be taken away. It's always about what God has done to secure your future. And what does Peter tell us? Jesus accomplishes an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is kept in heaven for you. It can never go away because it's what Jesus has done. That means no matter what we face in this life, whether it's disaster or disease, it's catastrophe or calamity, it's pestilence or plague, nothing can separate us from the love of God. What God has promised will always come to pass, even if we can't see what it is that God is doing in this moment. He's claimed us by his love, and we can have confidence in his grace, and we can have hope for the future. You see, hope is the expectation of the fulfillment of something that's desired. Hope is the work of the transcendent. It's the belief that there's more to this world than we can see or experience or touch. It's even more than simply having an optimistic point of view. Optimism involves the expectation that things are going to get better. But hope asserts that no matter what may come, no matter how bad things get, yet God's word and promise will prevail. So if our living hope is grounded in the past, and if our living hope is secure in the future, how does our living hope affect our present? How does it affect our understanding of who we are right now. I think in two ways. Number one, it makes us love God all the more, and it gives us a desire to serve others. Peter writes, blessed be, or praise be, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. It's a word of adoration, of praise, of the Almighty God of the universe. Peter's response to this announcement about our living hope is praise. It makes him worship God and to value him, to treasure him for who he is. And God in his grace draws out this praise in us by revealing to us those ways in which we have put our hope and trust in the things of this world. Our money, our economy, our security, our health. God doesn't want us to put our hope in those things. And as those things are shaken, we realize that we have put our hope in those things in different ways. Now let me say this, I do not think that God has sent a pestilence to punish us. Plagues are a part of the world in which we live because it's a fallen world. But like anything difficult, a plague, a pestilence, anything difficult gives us an opportunity to see what it is that we value. And it allows us to reorder our lives to value that which is ultimately valuable, that is God himself. The reason God has caused us to be born again into a living hope is because he wants us to worship him and not something of this world. And the more we see that the things of this world are not worth putting our hope in, the more we'll long for him to glorify him and to point others to his ultimate value. When you feel anxious in these days, listen to what God is saying to you. Listen to him saying, you can put your hope and trust in me because I am God. I'm the ruler of the universe. I created everything in you, and you can put your hope and trust in me. Our inheritance is eternal. It can never be taken away. If we know that, if we live that, then we live with generosity, with passion, and with hope, not only to worship God, but to serve those who are around us. I just want to say how thankful I am for Woodland Presbyterian Church. It was amazing in these last couple of weeks to see how we've been able to respond, to see the church staff and the elders and deacons and leaders and you to connect with each other and to call on one another. You make a call to someone and say, hey, how you doing? I want to check in with you. And it's like, oh, so-and-so called me already. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that we were able to figure out how to create this worship service to honor God in this space and in this way. We're not exactly a Facebook Live kind of congregation, if you know what I mean. And yet, the worship team and others have been able to do this so that we can meet together and just to see the hearts and the thumbs up and the comments and the fellowship that we have as we're watching this together. It's been a huge blessing to my heart. It makes me feel connected and so thankful for our church. And here's the thing, and I hope I'm wrong. I think that we're going to be significantly impacted by this disease. If we look around what's going on around the world, if we look at what's happening in our country, there's going to be a significant impact. And what's difficult to think about, even for ourselves, is that there are many people in our community that don't have someone to call to check in on them. They don't have someone to say, hey, did you watch the stream? Did you see it happen? Did you get a DVD if you can't watch it? How are you doing? Do you need groceries? They don't have people like that. There are people in our community that are used to being able to get breakfast and lunch at school, and because school's not meeting and because of other factors, they're not able to do that. There are people who are hungry. There are people in our community who have already lost their jobs. We know people in our own church who've had to make the difficult decisions about laying off employees in this really difficult time. Servers who don't have work, hospitality industry that's taking a real hit, and the owners of those companies who, with heartbreaking compassion, are having to make difficult decisions. It's going to be a severe impact. And our opportunity, brothers and sisters, our opportunity, church, is to care for and to love not only the people in our congregation, and we've been doing that in a wonderful and beautiful way, but then to look outside our homes and our walls and to say, who are the people that need to be loved and cared for? Because you see, I think this is an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for us to be a blessing, to think through This is the living hope that we have inside. What does this mean for me as I think about how to care for my neighbor? We obviously have to be wise in how we're doing social distancing. But you have neighbors, literal people that live in and around your community that you can check on. And you can say, I want you to know that I'm here for you. I could bring you some groceries. I could bring you some food. If you need to contact the church, if we can help with that, let us know. What are things that you can do? Check in with the people who live around you. Maybe you haven't really had a conversation with them. This is an opportunity to yell from across the yard, I'm thinking about you. How's it going? We're wanting to put together a team in our church to think through what are the resources that we have as a community. I've had a lot of people call me and say, I'd like to be able to do this. I'd like to be able to provide that. I've had other people that I'm connected to in the community say, here are the significant needs that we have. And we're trying to come through with a coordinated plan to be able to take the resources that we have and engage in ministry in a way that makes sense for our community so that we can be the church of Jesus Christ together. I don't know all that that looks like, but I'm asking you to pray for us, to pray for me, that we would make wise decisions. Maybe that looks like delivering food. Maybe that looks like caring for our medical community by supporting and encouraging them. We're praying through and thinking through what that looks like, and we need your help. But let's pray earnestly that God leads us in a wise way so that we can truly be a blessing to the community in this time. There's a lot of organization that will take place in that. But I'm trusting that God will use us to be a blessing. You know, I've been doing throughout the week these quips from quarantine on Facebook, and just a little bit of a thought about the letter from Paul to the Philippians, and I've been journeying through why Paul wrote a letter to the church in Philippi. And there's the scene where Paul and Silas and Luke are in Philippi. They're preaching the gospel. They heal a girl from a demon possession, and then everyone pounces on them. They get beaten and thrown in jail. And in the jail, it says that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And it's just an amazing thing that these guys in this desperate moment are singing and praising. But the next line says, and the other prisoners were listening. The other prisoners were listening. In the moment of desperation for these men, when they could have been complaining or grumbling or thinking of themselves, they were praising God because God is worthwhile. He is worthy to be worshipped, but the other prisoners were listening. Brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity because other prisoners, other people who are stuck and trapped are listening, and we have the opportunity to not only show them who we love, to show them the reason for the hope that we have that is within us, because Peter says, be prepared to give a hope, give a reason for the hope that's within you. You can do that with your words, and you can do that with your actions. How can we be a people that serve our community to show who we love, to show that we care about them? That's what this moment is for us. You know, having grown up in Orlando, there was a place that cared for people. A woman named Mrs. Russell opened up her home with a child who had a disability in 1951. She said to see if it would work out. She wanted to give this little girl named Marilyn, who had had cerebral palsy, a safe place to be cared for while her parents, just who were in desperate need, had some time to rest. Well, eventually, Mrs. Russell, who came to be known as Grandma Russell, took in another child and offered another place to live. Eventually, she took in another and another. Marilyn died in 2004 at Grandma's house. And by then, over 2,000 children with mental and physical disabilities had come through the Russell Home for Atypical Children in Orlando, Florida. For 54 years of her life, Grandma Russell, an exceptional woman, was a mother to hundreds of special needs children, filling their lives with love and hope. And in return, they gave purpose and meaning to her life. She was a woman of deep faith, and she, like Alexander Pope, knew that hope springs eternal for those who know the living God, those who have been born again into this living hope. They both knew and drew from that deep well of faith that came from their relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who had caused them to be born again into a living hope. And so whether they were writing poems, using their gift in that way, or caring for children, taking the menial tasks that are necessary to serve and to love the people that God put in front of them, their lives had meaning and joy because their hope was in Christ. We have the opportunity to give an answer for the hope that is within us, with our words, and with our actions? Will we show the world from where our hope comes? Will you pray with me?
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.